Hi, everyone. Matt Polka with ACA Connects, America's Communications Association, and welcome to another edition of our ACA Connects podcast. Today, we have the privilege of talking to Julie Lawless, CEO of Cable One, which as of the week of May 27 will become known as Sparklight. Julie runs today one of the most successful, customer-centric, and broadband-committed companies in our membership at ACA Connects, and also in our industry. Here's Julie Lawless, CEO of Sparklight. Matt Polka here with our ACA Connects podcast, where we are so happy today to have Julie Lawless, CEO of Cable One, now known as Sparklight. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you so much, Matt. I appreciate you having me.
Hey, let's start with a bit about you. So tell us a little bit about your background and ultimately how you became CEO of one of the leading companies in our industry.
Well, I'm happy to go into it. Can't imagine that it's going to be all that fascinating. I've been in this industry, and I love this industry for 35 years. And I actually studied our industry while I was at Indiana University in Bloomington. They actually had a cable TV almost degree. It was under telecom. And at that point in time, we're talking about the early 80s, cable TV was a budding business. And I thought that a young professional woman would have a chance at something new like that. And it intrigued me, and I'm like, that is what I'm going to do. And then I was fortunate enough, once I graduated, to get my first industry job at Hauser Communications in Arlington, Virginia. Now, this is the old Arlington Cable Partners. I was working for Gus Hauser and John Evans. Sure. They hired me as a CSR. And when I think back, I really have been so fortunate to work for several of the founding fathers of our industry, you know, whether John or Gus, or Glenn Jones or Tom Might. I'm a very lucky individual. And I have worked for a variety of different MSOs, Hauser for 5 years. Of course, they don't exist anymore. Jones Intercable for 10 years. Of course, they don't exist anymore. Comcast for about a month after they bought Jones Intercable. And then finding my home, and it is my home, at Cable One for nearly 20 years. I've also worked in a variety of functional areas in the business, starting out in customer service, as I mentioned, but also marketing, training, and operations. 40% of my career has been at the system or in market level, and about 60% at a corporate office. So all in all, just a nice set of experiences. I got to see a lot of different companies, a lot of different leaders, a lot of different strategies, a lot of different markets, but all in this industry, whatever we happen to be calling it right now.
That's a good point. Although, Julie, I have to tell you, I think you're the first person I ever talked to who actually sought a career in the cable industry. Most of us seem to have come to this by accident.
Yes. I know. I'm like, this is what I wanted to do, and dang it, I'm doing it.
Well, good for you, and you have done this. So let me ask you this very high-level question as you look back, still looking back on your background. What would you consider as maybe some of the fundamental changes in our industry that you've seen over time? And I'm wondering if you would see those changes maybe as technological or maybe something else.
Yeah, so I think part of the reason you find folks in the industry that have such long tenures is that the industry is under constant evolution, constant change. So you can't get bored because everything's shifting, and it makes it just a great learning experience. I mean, think about it, competitive landscape. I mean, back in the day, there weren't any DBS providers, let alone 5G providers, let alone low orbit satellite companies. I mean, none of that existed. It was just cable. The products, I remember when the hottest thing we had to sell was a premium service, HBO, or Showtime, and you sold that, and you wondered, well, should I negative trap it or should I positive trap it? And then it became addressable. And now think about what we are providing our communities in terms of the very rich connectivity through residential HSD or even services to businesses, not just the residential side. So the products have changed. Certainly, in a lot of respects, the technology has changed, but in some respects, the technology is the same. I mean, it's that HFC plant that's still delivering, in large measure, the bulk of these products. And we can say thank you to Cable Labs, I think, for that. You know, the tools that we use. I mean, what our techs do out in the field with their phones versus a variety. I mean, they used to have to carry televisions around to test with. And almost everything's done with an app on the phone now. So literally everything has changed over the course of that 35 years, which, again, makes it super interesting. Tons of fun.
Well, that's for sure. All from that one simple idea of a cable at the top of a mountain down into a valley, and here so many things have been born off of that. But speaking of changes, I have to ask you about the new name and brand being adopted by Cable One to now become Sparklight. Tell us how long you've been thinking about this and what finally motivated the change.
Yeah, so Cable One, now Sparklight, and so excited to finally get it, to get this out. It officially kicks off consumer-facing next week. We have been contemplating a rebranding. It is not just a name change. It is a rebranding for several years. But during the course of that time, we spun out from our parent company, Graham Holdings, and became public. We've done some M&A. And while it was on our plate, it wasn't the priority. Because, I mean, we are quite proud of our heritage as a cable company. But as you know, Matt, our strategy centers around HSD and business services. And so really the main reason for rebranding is to bring alignment between that strategy and what people call us, and calling us Cable One when cable isn't forward in that strategy just didn't make sense. So we are all excited for Sparklight. You know, consumer behavior continues to shift. Data consumption's increasing. Multi-device households are becoming the norm. Businesses expect and need a broad suite of services. And Sparklight, to us, really reflects our transformation from that traditional cable company to a connectivity company that seamlessly connects our customers to the things that they care about. And I think that the rebrand will allow us to continue to evolve with our customers by offering innovative options to fit their needs. Really excited about it.
I can imagine. I can imagine for sure, as well as our own experience this year changing from ACA to ACA Connects.
Exactly.
Quite exciting.
Exactly.
Looking back, last year, then, as named Cable One, was named an Independent Operator of the Year, which is, of course, a tremendous honor for your company. What do you think were the two or three things that distinguished your company as you look back on 2018?
Well, it was an honor that, and we won a J.D. Power Award for our internet satisfaction in the West region as well. So very proud of those things in 2018. And they tie back to two things, I think, culture and our commitment to our communities and our customers. So first, culture. If you spend any time in our Phoenix corporate office, you'll hear, well, any of our offices, quite honestly, you'll hear people saying, happy associates ensure satisfied customers, which in turn leads to a long-term profitable business. And it might sound, very cliche or maybe even Pollyannish, but that is the mantra that we live by. So our people, our associates is what we call them, at every level of the company contribute to our success, and we believe that wholeheartedly. So it's natural to do right by them. And when we do right by them, they do right by the customers, and we do well. We've taken our strategy and we've broken it into six easy to remember, what we call strategies for success. And one of them is called Stronger Together. And all of our associates, no matter where you go, if you ask them what are the strategies for success, they will rattle these six things off because they know that those six items act as a filter for what they should be spending their time and the company's money on. And one of them is themselves. It's Stronger Together. They are the foundation of the success of our company. There's 2,300 of them. They're dedicated, they're talented, and everyone from the front line to middle management to the executive team has one goal. And so a lot of times you'll actually also see at the bottom of emails on signatures, hashtag one team, because it is the team that makes this magic happen. And the other is really our commitment to our customers and our communities. I mean, our associates, the majority, far and away, the majority of our associates live in the communities that we serve. They go to church with our customers. Their kids play baseball or are in the Girl Scouts together. We are their neighbors. And that makes it really easy, quite honestly, to be committed to them and to have a passion for giving back to the community that we serve because we live there as well. And Sparklight ties into that. Our Sparklight brand principles are committed, helpful, proactive, and personal. These are real behaviors. These aren't words, Matt. These are behaviors that show that we are attached to our customers and our communities. And we just continue to strengthen our engagement. We were engaged, but we continue to strengthen that engagement to our communities, whether it's educational programs, corporate giving, donation of time and resources. Being that strong community partner is central to who we are, and we are so dedicated to making a positive impact on the cities and the towns that we also call home.
How would you answer this one question? At Sparklight, every time one of our associates connects with a customer, it is our goal to fill in the blank.
It is our goal to provide helpful, personal, and proactive service because those are our brand principles associated with Sparklight. We want our customers to know that we're committed to fulfilling that brand promise. Our brand promise is that we will provide them with the connectivity that enriches their world. And if you think about it another way, one of the things that you'll often hear me say is that going to make our customers' lives easier? Like, how can we make our customers' lives easier? When you're neighbors, that happens a lot more naturally than it might if you were hundreds or thousands of miles away.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
So let me change gears here a little bit to an issue in our industry. Your company's certainly been on the forefront of change for some time now to reprioritize the video business, which you were referring to in speaking about the change to Sparklight. What are some of the things you've learned so far with this transition from prioritizing the video business to prioritizing the broadband business?
Yeah, it's been quite a journey. We actually embarked on it, when I think back, sometime around, I'd say 2013, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, we did not know how it would go. But let me just step back and say, you know, this has been our path, and I believe that there are many paths to success. And our path may not work for another company, given their market, given their capabilities, given their culture. But for who we are and our competencies, this, as it turns out, was the right thing for us to do. I mean, when we looked at the expense of video programming and the lack of leverage that a smaller company has in these types of negotiations, and you couple that with the ever-expanding consumer choice It seemed to us that spending more time and resources on video would lead to very little return. And so for us to stay alive and be able to contribute to our communities, we had to make a pivot. And our former CEO, Tom Mike, who you know well, set us on a path. And as I said, when we started out, we literally, I remember sitting in his office and we were like, this is what we think. It's not what we know. But we're going to give it a try. And what we have seen is we've gone through that tipping point where, you know, revenues are growing and adjusted EBITDA and margins are expanding, and they're expanding rapidly. And as that has happened, we have gained the confidence to believe that this path is well suited for us. And, you know, that confidence is not getting diminished as each quarter rolls on. It's the right path for us.
But I think it does underscore, as you pointed out, just the difficulty that all of our ACA Connects members face in trying to absorb, you know, what are ever-increasing video programming costs, whether it's for cable programming, sports programming, broadcast programming over retransmission consent, where we see broadcast groups today receiving more than half of their revenue from retransmission consent,
something that was never intended.
Absolutely. So we were just having a conversation this morning, like, okay, so a broadcast group, I won't name them, just announced that their retransmission consent revenue outpaced their advertising revenue. And we know where that is coming from. That's coming from the pocketbooks of our consumers. And how much can they bear?
Well, you have certainly led the way at Sparklight to create seriously an industry discussion over this issue and certainly to energize all of our members in thinking about how they can, with their broadband plant and other services, give consumers more choices. Looking ahead, though, beyond the current path, what do you see as some of the major challenges and perhaps threats, not only for your company, but also for our industry?
Yeah. Well, based on our previous conversation, you know, I think we have a very bright future. We're growing well organically and through M&A. But we have to be ever vigilant. Our associate base right now is loyal and happy, and we have award-winning customer satisfaction. But we have to always be on the lookout, especially as the labor market is tightening, to what can we do to hire and keep the best people? How can we make our customers' lives easier so that while the landscape gets more competitive, we get better and better and become the natural choice of our customers? Certainly, we worry about things like unnecessary government intervention and regulation, which is one of our key reasons for belonging to a fabulous organization like ACA. And for us, we have to, and it might be different from others, but as we've become a public company, the pace and change that are associated with being a public company is something that I think our organization is still getting used to, is still adjusting to. But, you know, with proper planning, I think we can handle all of these things with the possible exception of government intervention, and I'm going to rely on your help for that, Matt.
Well, that's what we're here for, and we are privileged and honored every day to do so. So consider it our job, and as our first chairman, Dave Kinley, once said, fatigue is not on the agenda, so you can count on that for sure. So, and it's true. Trust me, it is true. So let me ask you this, Julie Lawless, CEO of Sparklight. What's a typical day for you? How do you manage a day? What's the best part of what you do? What's the most challenging? And how do you relax and recharge?
Well, a typical day for me starts at 3:45 a.m. That's when I get up. I'm an early to bed, early to rise kind of gal. The first thing I do when I get up is I meditate, and I just started this practice. I had read so much from, you know, Harvard Business Review to, you know, a myriad of articles on how good it is to spend time meditating. So I started that in the fall. As soon as I get done with that, I read the Bible. It's a big part of who I am. Then I read trade magazines, investment articles or leadership articles or blogs. I work out, and I get to work between 5 and 6 a.m. And, you know, I work till about 5 or 6. I know some folks work a lot later, but I got to get to bed. I eat and chat with my husband because my kids are at college. I do a little bit more reading before bedtime, and then it's early to bed. The best part of what I do is spending time with our people, with our associates. I love whether I'm walking around on our fifth floor. Here's our technology floor, for example. Our people will be like, "Do you want to see what I'm working on?" And I'm like, "Heck yes." Or when I'm in the field and I ride with our technicians, and I get to interact with our customers and see how tired they are at the end of the day. And I just think, wow, how lucky am I to work with people that give so much. I mean, truly, truly, that is the best part of what I do. If I want to relax and recharge, I sort of have a hard time with that relaxed part. But I work out. I work out daily. I read. I love to read. I don't know where I would be without my Kindle. And I try hard to take opportunities to connect with others, friends and family. And when it gets really bad, I just go for a really long run.
There you go.
Well, you know, success really is a lot about people and relationships, and it sounds as if you prioritize that first and foremost in all you do. Couple more questions that we have time for. Just so nice to have you here with us in our ACA Connects podcast. Tell me, Julie, what do you think is the best business advice you've ever received, and how do you try to put that into practice every day?
Wow. So too many things actually come to mind. It's kind of funny. Sometimes our associates will write down things that I say and give me like a little PowerPoint back to them, and I'm like, I say all of that? And almost everything that I'm quoting I've gotten from somebody else. And remember, I had years to watch and emulate our former CEO, Tom Might, and
right.
He was such a great teacher and mentor to me. And actually, and I told him this recently, I learned as many personal lessons from him as I did professional ones.
Mm-hmm.
But likely, the best business advice is really just the best people advice. And I got it from my parents. You know, these are the people we spend the most amount of time with in our lives. And from my parents, I learned the importance of being accountable. I have three younger brothers, the youngest of which was blind and mentally handicapped, so I learned accountability at a young age, a strong work ethic, and really the value and the gift of lending a hand. So I would say that's the best advice, and I try to live those three items out, you know, every day. I'm a work in progress, though.
Aren't we all? That's for sure. But those are great words of wisdom from your parents that not only help you certainly in business, but also in life. That's great to hear. So the last question I have for you is in a similar vein, but, you know, as our ACA Connects members, all, you know, 800 or so of them from, you know, larger companies like Sparklight down to some of our smaller members that have, you know, less than 1,000 subscribers, they're all in the midst of challenge and change today and sometimes so much uncertainty. As someone who runs one of our leading companies, and has just so much experience. What kind of advice or counsel or encouragement could you give our ACA Connects members in this challenging time we face?
Well, Matt, it humbles me for you to ask me that question. I mean, I think that we draw encouragement and life lessons from those that we trust and those that we have strong relationships with. So one of the things I try to remind myself of is that those relationships are worth time regardless of how busy we are in our professional lives. So for me, I might get really busy, and if I sit down, like when I'm meditating and I'm thinking about what is it that I value, and if I say that I value family and friends, yet I'm spending time, all my time at work, then I'm not being true to my values. So let's not forget that those relationships are worth time, and the conversation is the relationship. So we all have to make time for the right conversations, because conversations are what move us forward. It's what solidifies our relationships. And if our relationships are solid, things start moving faster and things go better. So I think it's really just the basics. It's just those simple things. And my guess is that that resonates with you in your role, as you have built such strong relationships, not only with all of those ACA members, but also with members of Congress.
It is true, and underscores so much the reasons why we did change our name this year, underscoring the fact that not only our organization is an association, but what our members do every day, and that's connect and communicate. You know, not specifically referring to a specific technology, but just the connections and the communications and the relationships that are just so vital to all that we do and to all of our success. Well, Julie Lawless
you're so on point with that, Matt. I mean, we talk a lot about technology and how it's the foundation of this business and this industry, but that technology isn't doing the work. It's people that are doing the work. So amen to that.
Well, Julie Lawless, CEO of Sparklight, it is so nice to have you. What a pleasure. We could go on and on, but I know you have a very busy day, and I understand you get up early, so we will let you off the hook here on our ACA Connects podcast. But thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
Talk to you soon, everybody. Matt Polka here with ACA Connects. Thanks again, everyone, for joining us on today's ACA Connects podcast with our very special guest, Julie Lawless, CEO of Sparklight. Hey, listen, everybody, please send us your feedback. We love to hear from you with your comments and suggestions on how we can make our ACA Connects podcast even better. And as always, you can find our ACA Connects podcast on Apple Podcasts, Podomatic, and our website at www.acaconnects.org/thehub. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. Thanks to our Manager of Digital Communications, Matt Mare, here at ACA Connects, for his help to make this podcast happen. We'll be back soon with another podcast where ACA Connects.